Joining us now is longtime NBAer, former Celtic, and now Celtics analyst. He's been with us many times. Here is Brian Scalabrine. How you doing, Brian?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Do you agree with that statement that the Raptors and the Celtics, clearly the two best teams in the East?
Yeah. You know what I'm a little surprised with just nationally, and I don't know how it is here locally, but I don't think that Toronto's given the love that they deserve. I think that they got a bad matchup, obviously, last year against the Cavs, which is not their fault because they were a number one seed, and obviously, you know, the better you are, usually you play a worse team, but LeBron was a beast. And they don't have to deal with him anymore, even though they're better suited to deal with him. But I just think that this team is super athletic. They're versatile, just like the Celtics. And I am really looking forward to this matchup. I don't usually say that throughout the regular season, but I just am really excited about seeing these two teams tonight.
You think the players buy into both coaches saying, oh, the other team's the best team. Oh, no, the other team's the best team. I don't know. As a player, sometimes wouldn't you like your coach to say, I think we're favored. I think we're the actual best team in the East.
I think that that's kind of like the narrative that people use nowadays, even though internally I'm sure that they're saying, if you want to be the best team in the East, you got to go through Boston. You got to go through Toronto. Toronto had the best record last year. We being the Celtics, have not played well in this arena. And I even went on record last year to say, if whoever had home court advantage, if they were to match up last year, I thought the team with home court advantage would have won the series. But, you know, the out that Toronto had, it sort of has taken a little bit of the pressure off of them of being the best team in the East. But just to go in a little bit further, if Kyle Lowry and Ibaka just can maintain the level that they're playing at, you know, at the beginning of the season, towards the end of the season, then Toronto is definitely going to be Eastern Conference contender, no doubt.
Kawhi Leonard, obviously a huge story during the offseason, and he looked pretty good in game one. A little bit rusty, but that's to be expected. But how do you think Kawhi's presence changes the way Boston is going to approach the Raptors?
So he's like a guy that, and nowadays with the NBA going small, he gives a coach. You know, Nick Nurse now has the ultimate lineup flexibility. This thing about the range, Kawhi could play the 2, the 3, the 4, and you can match up any way you want. So you could put the pressure on another team and make them match up to you, or you could match up to whatever they do. You know, it wouldn't be mind-boggling to me, even though I love Siakam and Ibaka, if they put Kawhi Leonard on Al Horford, because so far, and this was last year, Dwayne Casey really felt that Al Horford was the hub of the Celtic offense, and he made a conscious effort to take him out of the offense. Well, let's just say, you know, Nick Nurse was on staff last year, so let's just say that he's part of that. Then I'd be interesting to see if Kawhi goes with like a more physical mindset, tries to take Al Horford out of the mix. But like I said, both teams have incredible lineup flexibility. You know, I would love to see DeLon Wright today because I was a huge fan of Toronto's bench last year, but I don't think it's going to be the same. If you have watched so far, They blended all the lineups versus, like, last year Casey had, like, his first unit and then his second unit, and he sort of blended in the fourth quarter. But I think Kawhi Leonard just gives you all that flexibility, much more flexibility than you have with DeMar DeRozan. I'm a huge DeMar DeRozan fan.
Raptors Celtics down at Scotiabank. We're chatting with former Celtic and Celtic analyst Brian Scalabrine here on Overdrive. Gordon Hayward, one of the most gruesome injuries I've ever seen. First half of the first game of his Celtics career. And he put up pretty decent numbers. He looked comfortable in game one. The Celtics just spanked Philly. But what are you expecting? What is Boston in general expecting out of Gordon Hayward this year?
You know what? I think it's going to be different as the year goes on. I think at the start of the year, it's just a way for him to find his rhythm, find his new game. He's not, like, I don't know when it's ever going to come back or if it's ever going to come back, but he's a freak of nature athletically when he was in Utah. And maybe because he's white, like, people don't give him the credit that he deserves for being as good of an athlete as he is. But I don't know if he's still going to be able to go to the basket. Bodies are going to fly off of him, and he's going to elevate and have his elbows by the rim. That's what he was like 2 years ago. How long that takes? Does it ever come back? You know, I don't really know. But we do know that Brad has been using him with the second unit and being sort of like the playmaker guy in that unit. And he had a nice rhythm in the second quarter. But he still has yet to find that aggressive mindset with the first unit. And maybe that's going to take 3 or 4 months, but I can't wait to see him get an opportunity to turn the corner and elevate, and where he actually does is just power through the rim like he used to.
With Brian Scalabrine, we were kind of laughing about LeBron last night, where he is going to play the seasoned vet to all those kids in L.A. all season long. And he was mic'd up last night, and he was in hero mode. And I love LeBron. I've been a LeBron apologist for 15 years. But I think it's going to be insufferable. His pregame, postgame comments about Ingram learning, about Lonzo growing, about Kuzma and what he can learn.
Think about being one of the young kids listening to it every day.
I think it's going to be tough, Brian. Like, I think that's what he's getting paid for, and he's LeBron.
Tough
but
for who?
For the kids.
Tough for the Lakers?
No, for all of us. For me. For listening to it. I think LeBron is just going to be insufferable
100%.
This year.
I thought you were saying it's going to be tough for them.
Like,
No. The whole league and everyone, I would say 98% of people in America are, like, eating this up. Like, LeBron's the greatest human being ever. He's like Gandhi out there. But, no, I'm not. I agree. But here's the thing. I do a radio show on Sirius. It's just NBA. If I didn't have LeBron, I'd probably have to quit my job because we literally would not have anything to talk about. So he dominates the conversation. And, yes, I absolutely throw him under the bus for being that, even though I'm with you. He's such a brilliant player, and I respect him as a player, but he does do a lot of goofy stuff, and I love talking about it. But you're right. It's going to be tough to deal with day in and day out, and his movie producing and the barbershop or whatever, and it's just like that he invented the idea. Yeah, the guy, he's radio gold, really, for us. I'm sure to a certain extent, you guys have to, you know, kind of jump on that as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We talk LeBron all the time. And a lot of it, again, when you have to just be honest about his success, about his resume. But I think he's going to call them young buck. You know, it'll be like that. This young buck needs to learn. It's like, all right, LeBron, we get it, man. Like, it's game 10. Like, relax, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you guys think you have witnessed the dominance of LeBron? Like, my whole thing is, it's not the same in the West. And as good as people, we can spin it the way we want to spin it. Night in and night out, man, there's 10 really good teams in the Western Conference that you are going to be battling with. And I think that's going to take a wear and tear on him. So I know Laker fans are so optimistic about LeBron being there, but I don't think it's going to go as well the first year. And then at the end of the day, it's really going to come down to, once again, LeBron kind of creating a super team this offseason. But this year, it's going to be really interesting from his perspective, because I don't think he's going to have the type of success that everyone else thinks that he is.
I'm with you. Enjoy the game tonight. It should be a great one. Thank you, Brian.
Anytime, guys.
There's Brian Scalabrine, former Celtic and analyst with the Celts.